everyone, and welcome back to the Lawrence Garden Farm. We hope everybody had an awesome holiday season and is ready to get started in this year of 2023. And I keep calling it like 2022, or I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, where the heck is the time going? Like, it is flying by this month. But maybe it's also because I've been keeping myself busy, which I'm sure all of you have either. We have those things that we want to do and get a head start on, whether that looks like organization, body goals, health goals, maybe life goals, whether it's, you know, career-wise or your presence or time where you want to commit your time to. So many cool things to really start the year off with. And I really believe that this is how we should start off every single month. If we started every single month out like we do January 1st, I think that everybody would actually be a lot more happier and motivated throughout the rest of the year. But I know how it is. I'm human. I'm just like you guys, to where, you know, you get caught up in the day to day. And then, you know, our mind is really what guides us through the year. So if we could just, you know, program our mind on the first of every month to just, you know, take out those notebooks, kind of, you know, analyze, you know, what we're doing, where we're at, how we're feeling, and what we want to commit to within the next 28 to 31 days of that month. So that's kind of like what I'm focusing on this year. I don't have any huge goals this year. And I know that kind of probably sounds crazy, but when the new year started, I didn't really feel like the new year started. I felt more like, all right, you know, it's just another month. It's just continuing on with my journey of what I've been on through the, you know, past few years. And, you know, what is it going to look like this year? I don't know, but I'm going to continue to do what makes me happy. I'm going to continue to do what, you know, possibly helps us out financially. I'm going to keep doing what I love learning and sharing and, you know, continuing to commit to that time with the family and being more present. I have been so much happier when I've been more, you know, attuned to knowing where my time is spent and, you know, who I'm spending it with and what I'm doing, and trying not to put so much time into the things that, you know, just make my stomach curl or things that I don't look forward to doing. Just focusing more on what, you know, I love doing. And what I love doing is gardening. I love decorating, organizing, and redoing our rooms in our house. I love being in the greenhouse and growing plants. And my main thing that I love doing is spending time with my family. That is the most fun because we enjoy doing all of those things together. So it just goes hand in hand. And that's one other thing as well, as I know we always have the things that we like doing by ourselves. And if you have, you know, family, kids, husband, wife, close friends, or whatever it is, you know, maybe share some of your passion with that person or with that family member or with your entire family. And, you know, maybe do things that would allow them to learn a little bit and have some fun doing what you love doing. Because when you're able to share what you love doing with other people, there is nothing greater in the feeling. It's like this feeling of love that I can't even describe. And when you're doing it all together, it's just like this accomplishment together. And the accomplishment is actually the present moment and the memory created within that moment in time. And that is just beautiful. So I wish everyone this beautiful year, you know, these beautiful memories, and creating a year that you truly want to live. Not the life that, you know, you're told you have to live or we're believed we have to live. Live the life that you want to live, that you've been dreaming of. Just start doing it. And I'm not saying like, okay, yeah, I want to live in a mansion with an in-ground pool. And then all of a sudden you do it and you're broke and you're like, Casey, let's be practical, because the thing that matters the most and the thing that should be started off with first is, you know, the presence and spending time with those close to you, and then go from there and decide, you know, what do I love? Let's start adding just a little bit of this into my day every day. You know, for me in the off season, I love rock hounding. So anytime that I get a free moment where it is not freezing out, I will put on my rain boots and I will head on outside and I will go rock hounding in our field. It's a way to connect outside, to breathe fresh air, and we find really cool things in the field. So that's my tip for the new year. That's kind of where I'm at with my supposed goals, I guess, because I don't really have specific goals. I'm just living this year to, you know, just do stuff and just have fun and just be. And, you know, and I'm just hoping that things turn out. I guess we'll see. You know, I used to be afraid to not have a plan, but I guess I do sort of have a plan, but I'm not like, I don't know, I don't have it all mapped out, which is what I'm saying, but that's okay. You know, it's totally okay. And I'm okay with that now. So I never used to be, but I am now. So that's awesome. So what I'd like to kind of also discuss today is, you know I've talked about social media in the past and everything, but this isn't going to be a downer topic. So don't worry. I know we started with a very uplifting episode, but this is just a little reminder for all of you and for myself. I even have it written down. I've been writing this down to make sure, because I'm back onto social media. Just wanting to be able to share and inspire, teach, learn, all these things. I find that I thrive the most in sharing through creativity. And the biggest thing is to not get caught up in the scrolling. If you get caught up in scrolling, that's when you start, you know, comparing yourself to others, comparing your creativity, your work, your ideas. And also when you scroll, you're actually kind of programming your mind with other people's creativity and ideas, and then you kind of spin off of those. Whereas if you're not scrolling and you're coming up with your own creative ideas, it's going to really come out that way once you share that creative idea. It's going to look completely authentic. It's not going to look like anyone else's work or ideas. And that's what we need more of in this world, is new, fresh ideas. And I always love when I see new, fresh ideas. And I just want to say that to keep your mind from getting cluttered and from, you know, having to take any breaks. It's just best not to scroll. You know, it's always nice to communicate, obviously, with people you follow or people that follow you, and, you know, be involved within that community and with the people that you really, you know, find inspiring. It's always really good, I feel, to, you know, comment on their work and let them know that you appreciate them. But I also feel that you don't need to be on there, you know, all the time. Like, you know, maybe put out your fresh idea, creative post, and then, you know, kind of bounce out of there. Maybe just schedule a time once a week where, you know, you're scrolling through, or maybe just schedule 10 minutes. I'm going to scroll through 10 minutes and, you know, comment on a lot of the people that I appreciate here, and then, you know, bounce out of there. Just put a timer on your phone or something, and just be more, you know, aware of that this year. The awareness is what always comes first. So once you start off with that awareness, it only continues to grow. And that's kind of how you start steering your time in your life and in that positive direction. All right, so let's just kind of keep moving on. You know, this year too, I really want to just stick with, you know, sharing a lot of positivity and creativity and ideas, and I'm continuing to learn, and we have so many awesome ideas for the garden. But like always, you guys, it comes down to a budget, right? I mean, not everybody can just, you know, fork out a load of cash and make something happen. So we really run the Lawrence Garden Farm based off of what we make off of the Lawrence Garden Farm. So whatever we make from monetization on our YouTube videos, from, you know, products that we make, or anything on the side, I guess, is basically for the Lawrence Garden Farm. that's where it goes into. It goes into continuing to build it, because the garden farm is literally being built to open one day. And that's not anytime really soon. It's basically my lifelong project. So I want to open it later. We have young kids, so I don't want just random people coming in and opening it up and posting it all over online and, you know, like, here, come visit us here, you know. So, you know, you got to kind of be a little bit careful, but it's definitely something that I'm building for our future. I look at it as, you know, right now Jason is, you know, full-time with our building company and the family and another business partner as well. And Jason's coming into taking it over. And so it's new home construction and realty. And I used to help out with design, but I currently do not. It's just not in my schedule as of right now. And so he's been very busy with that. It's been taking up a lot more hours, and he's learning some new roles in the business that he will be playing once he's officially taking it over. And that's been looking a little different for us here with, you know, time management and how we use our time and what we're putting it towards. And I really wanted him to be on the podcast today, but it just wasn't able to happen because he had other, you know, obligations and meetings and places he had to do, people he had to see. So, you know, all of that stuff. And in the beginning, we always had Jason in on everything, and that was really nice. And I can't wait for that again. That's the whole point of building the Lawrence Garden Firm. So that's something Jason and I can do together, which we do it together now, but not like full time, you know. But it's just one of those passion projects that I have, and I really want to be able to open that up and have people come in. And what I see is like all kinds of different gardens on the property. I see people walking through on these beautiful paths that are, you know, filled with all kinds of beautiful plants, perennials, annuals, shrubs, trees, and different things to do, and all kinds of cool things. And just having people come and walk through and people learning off of, you know, the different like nameplates for the plants. They can write down, you know, different combinations that they want to duplicate in their own yard, or be inspired, or just be around nature, just going for that walk, bringing their family, open it up to photographers for pictures, and open it up for workshops. And I would love like different like sound healing and meditation and yoga. I would love to have different like craft DIY workshops with, and these won't be hosted by me. This would be like where we would open it up to others that would love to use the location for their different events. And I just think that that would be super amazing, because it does keep getting built up around our area around here, and I don't love that. I'm a person that just loves silence and then just the sound of realness, like nature. Like, I don't like people noise, you know, like I don't like the sound of cars, planes, anything really, like lawnmowers. I know. Ours is fine, of course. But, you know, just like things like that. Like, I don't like hearing like noises around me that aren't nature noises. And that's kind of happening around here, but I've kind of shifted my vision, because I always envision like this quiet sanctuary for people to come to, but it's not going to be quiet because it's building up around here. And I'm finally becoming okay with that. I'm coming around to the thought process of that. So I'm kind of adding that into my vision as well. Like, you know, yeah, it'll be built up and, you know, maybe a little bit of noise around us and everything, but when people step into the garden farm and they come into the sanctuary of the garden farm, you can still slightly hear it, but you do not feel like you are around it. You are enclosed by nature, by trees and all this beauty. And that's really what we want to create. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on really. And right now it's kind of just me. So Jason's still helping out with some projects, obviously. So one of our projects that we really need to do this year, it's a need at this point, and that is a shade structure within the actual garden space. So the main garden is our kitchen garden with our raised beds, and that's where we need a a shade structure. And, you know, we've used umbrellas and everything like that, and that works okay, but not really, because we have sun on all sides. We do not have big trees or anywhere where we get, you know, a little bit of a break, and it's right on the south side, off of the south side of our house, so it's full on sun. And I love that, and it's perfect for growing, so I'm not complaining, but we need to kind of, you know, add something to allow us to enjoy the space even more so during the day, because by, you know, 8:30, 9 a.m., it is just unbearable on hot days. Like, it gets super hot. So I just really want to add something like that. And so that's what I'm going to be designing this year. It's going to be a little bit more of a pricier addition. So I kind of, you know, that may be the only thing that we end up doing this year. And I'm okay with that, because it's going to allow us just to be able to relax and enjoy the gardens for longer during the day. Because the whole, you know, from 10 a.m. through, you know, 4 or 5 if it's a warm day, like, you really can't sit in the garden because it's so hot, unless you can sit in the perfect seat that the umbrella can cover. And there's other ways to give you shade too. You know, there's other, like, cheaper substitutes, which, you know, we've been playing around with and using for the past few years, but we believe it's time now to kind of add that into there. Because once you do have a shade structure, then we can start hosting smaller events to start seeing, you know, what people want, what people like, and what this would all look like, what this would all feel like. And it would be, you know, more with, like, close friends or neighbors and people that, you know, we know. And that way, you know, we can kind of work all of this out before the time comes where we do end up opening it. And when that is, I don't know. I don't really have a specific plan, but I see it being, you know, when we're more of the empty nesters. So that's kind of the vision for, you know, the future. And that's kind of what I've been working on for a while. And this has always been the vision from the beginning. And if you followed us, you basically already know that story. So when we started online, just sharing things and starting the process, we didn't really realize that, you know, people would really like it. And they like seeing the process. But what we also learned is that they actually liked seeing more of, like, the how-to and gardening and how do we do this, how do we do that. And, you know, as we start getting into the how-to thing too. And that's not actually my favorite, honestly. I don't mind making how-tos because I love being able to, like, help people. Like, and I think people always are interested in knowing, like, what your process is. And I think that's awesome. And I'd rather share it as a process than a how-to, but sharing it as a how-to helps more people step by step. And I don't love making those, because it's like, when I do something, I do it because I have to get it done. But when you have to film it, it takes 2 to 3 times longer, because you have to keep, you know, moving the camera, adjusting it, make sure you hit record, make sure it's recording. And then there's, you know, the whole, you got to get, like, layover clips so people can see it better. And it's a process. Whereas, you know, with vlogging, you are just really showing what you're doing rather than, like, how to. So it's not as in detail. It's more just, you know, grazing over the topic and just kind of, you know, going through the garden and enjoying the beauty that, you know, has been created over the season. And that's always fun too. So there are a couple cool announcements this year. So far this year, we were contacted by Pioneer Woman Magazine, which is super cool, and they wanted to feature one of our window box recipes. So we will be featured in Pioneer Woman Magazine this spring. I think that comes out in either April or May. I'm unsure. There really weren't many details. It was just something by surprise. We didn't know that this was happening until 2 months ago, maybe less, but they, you know, emailed us and wanted to share something. And then, you know, we just kind of correspond with the information that they require. And then there it is. It's in print. So that'll be really fun to see. And also what's cool is it's one of the photos I took. So I'm actually really excited about that because I'm also the photographer in this sharing of the window box this time. So yep, so that's about it for this year. Oh, and also one more thing too. So in June for Walter's Gardens, we are actually going to be their keynote speaker. This will take place in Michigan at Walter's Gardens, and this will be at the end of June. So we'll be taking a trip to Michigan, which will be fun. I've been to Michigan. We went to Michigan once to pick up a vehicle that we bought, but I've never actually been there to vacation. So we're super excited. We're going to take a little family trip and just enjoy our time there. And then, you know, do a speech. They said usually it's anywhere from like 150 to 200 people, which, you know, piece of cake, right? I'm a little nervous. I'm going to admit I'm a little nervous, but that's okay. That's all right. But I'll be speaking on social media is what they want me to speak on, social media and business. So I am really excited to share a lot of my knowledge that I've gained and learned and what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, like I have like a number one key thing for businesses to be successful online, and I'll be sharing that there. So I am super excited about that. And I'm really excited to go there and meet everyone from Walter's Gardens, because if you guys don't know already, Walter's Gardens has been a huge contributor to the Lawrence Garden Farm. Like, they contribute and donate so many beautiful perennials every year because they see the vision and they are really, you know, supportive on our overall goal and our journey. And it's just so cool to be able to know and have friends like this in your corner that are just so supportive, and they're amazing growers. They grow a lot of proven winners. They grow all proven winter perennials, and they also have the Walter's Gardens perennials as well. So it's just amazing. If you haven't checked them out yet, you can check them out on their website. It's waltersgardens.com. And that will conclude today. So if you don't know, we have a YouTube channel. It's called The Lawrence Garden Farm. If you don't follow us on Instagram or Facebook, my handle is at Casey Lynn Lawrence. So feel free to find us over on those other places, and we'll talk with you guys soon, and we'll come back with some great topics, great information, great tips, and I look forward to talking with you guys again, or talking to you guys. All right, whatever. Have a great day. Hey, everyone, and good morning. Usually, I will write some notes down when I hit the record button for the podcast. But today, I felt like I needed to just jump right into this. So today we are going to be talking about the myth of the green thumb, because this is something that I'm told all of the time. This right here. You have such a green thumb. I wish I had a green thumb. You are blessed with a green thumb. Oh, it must be nice. You were born with a green thumb. This is such a myth. Nobody is born with a green thumb. Nobody is blessed with a green thumb. It just doesn't happen that way. Green thumbs are over years of experience, trial and error. They're not just given, they're created. So yes, I am blessed because I do have a green thumb, but I'm not blessed with it. I was blessed with my upbringing, being agricultural and horticultural upbringing, to, you know, teach me that, because growing up, I was just completely surrounded by it. It was my life, my family's life, our life. Like, that's what we did. We literally lived off of our land, ate off of our land, grew everything on the land. The land provided for us because it was our business of selling things from the land, selling what we grew, all of that, my entire life. Like, if I was able to work as soon as I popped out of the womb, I'm sure I would have, because as soon as you're able to walk, talk, whatever, you're put into, like, your outdoor workforce. We were the farmhands. That's just how it was. We grew up like a typical old farm family. And I wouldn't change it. But that's where my green thumb comes from. So what makes me really sad when I hear this is that it's basically somebody saying that they will never have a green thumb because they weren't born with it or blessed with it. That they, no matter what they do, they're always killing something and they'll never have a green thumb. Well, I didn't always, you know, grow things perfectly. I didn't always keep everything alive. You know, it's something that you just kept working at. Like, we grew up in the agricultural business first. So it was always selling our vegetables, raising animals, and all of this stuff, and pumpkin farm, and we'd open up for pick your own, and then we'd sell directly. We'd have caramel apples and all of that stuff. And then we gradually started selling the plants, and then that turned into less of like the actual farming with the animals. The animals kind of went away when we started selling plants, and plants took off, which then kind of got rid of like the field farming. And then the garden center kept growing, but my parents were not horticulturalists. They did not go to school for that. My dad was a seventh generation farmer, so he definitely had the growing part under his belt, but growing in a field and farming is very different than greenhouse growing and germinating indoors and knowing what soil to use and knowing, you know, how to deal with certain kinds of insect problems that you didn't have in the field. And it's completely different kind of growing, completely different kind of growing. So, I mean, they had so many trial and errors, so many successes, but way more failures in the beginning. It was just insane. Like, they taught themselves how to be greenhouse growers and now have this huge garden center. And that's where I gained my knowledge. But my thing is, I want to explain that they didn't always have the green thumb for growing flowers and all of that. That was something that was learned through just trying it and failing and learning from the failure. The failures are the best lesson. They're the best lesson because we take a look at what we did and we do not want to repeat that the second time. The second time, what if something goes wrong? Well, look at what you did that time and then don't repeat that the third time. Usually the third or the fourth time is when you get it right, you know what you did, you know what you did not do, and you implement that moving forward. So one or two times is not enough. I really, really want to get you guys excited about growing, and I don't want anyone to give up because having a green thumb doesn't just come, and not just some people have a green thumb. Everybody has a green thumb. It's part of our makeup as humans. We are meant to be able to work with plants, work with nature, and tend to the earth, and be in our gardens, and grow our own food and flowers, and really create our own system that surrounds us that is just really natural. And I feel like so many people give up on that. I think another big part of that, though, too, is because people start too large once they begin. You know, we go on social media and we get all of these ideas, and I get it. It's inspiring, and we're like, yeah, we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden, you go from having no garden to like this huge garden the next season, and it's unattainable. It's all of a sudden like, I cannot do this. I didn't even get any food production, any flower production. I don't know what I did wrong. And because there's just too much to tend and to take care of. The lessons have to come first. Start off small and then move big from there. Don't start out with this huge garden if you've never gardened or if you've only had a small like container garden before. Start off a lot smaller because then you're working your way into the amount of work too. Gardening is a ton of work, and the more gardens you have, it takes up all of your time. I'm telling you, if I didn't have a business in gardening and I wasn't making money from our garden would not be this big, and it would be very specifically created to only produce exactly what we use and what we need. because it is expensive, one, and two, it takes up all of my time. And I love it though. So that's why I created it as a business for myself. And what's really funny is that, you know, we're online and content creating, and that's really how we've always earned our money for the garden. And we've always earned enough to put back into our garden. We've never had to spend outside of our garden account. But where we found we made more money outside of content creating last year was just using Facebook Marketplace. And I say that with almost like a question at the end because it was shocking. We did all of this work throughout like these years of being online, and we sell just a few plants on Marketplace, and it's like we, you know, made a lot more there rather than the hours of videoing and editing and all of this stuff, which then kind of got our wheels spinning. So this year now we're actually moving into helping people start their gardens because a lot of people do have problem seed starting within their homes. And, you know, problems arise. Don't give up, though. But we are there to help. So we are going to be selling some of our plants, some of our plant starts on our new online store. We haven't published it just yet. It's called ManorHouseMarket.com. But it will be published soon, and the plants will be ready soon. And they'll be smaller plants, but the size that we're selling the plants is the size that I planted our entire garden in last year, and we had a beautiful, huge, successful garden last year. So I know that they'll be perfect to just, you know, plant directly right into your garden. If you get them earlier than, you know, mid-May, then you may still be having some frost if you're in our zone, which is Wisconsin Zone 5. And if that's the case, then you'll want to have something ready to kind of plant them into, like a small pot or something. But really, the idea of it all is to receive them and plant them in your garden and then just, you know, let them go and not have to worry about the seeding part. So that'll be available soon. But back to the green thumb, there is one thing I also want to discuss with that. I want to ask all of you to ask yourselves, how many times did I try when I gave up? For some of you who didn't give up, who are listening, you guys may also be those that are told you have a green thumb. I want to encourage you to encourage others the next time anyone, a friend, family member, if you're online, like a follower or whatever, the next time someone tells you that you have a green thumb, to tell them, well, so do you. Because we all have one. The myth of the green thumb is to say that someone else has one and you do not. And possibly help them figure out what happened. Why do they think that they do not have a green thumb? What did they end up killing or trying to grow that did not work out for them? And you may possibly have some tips or maybe suggest them to someone that you follow that you know that would, you know, be able to help them. And I feel like that's why there's such a huge garden movement right now, is because gardeners all over are really uplifting each other. They're really helping each other out. You're seeing these community gardens a lot more now too, which is awesome. And these subdivision community gardens where, you know, I've seen where someone has a larger lot than other people in the subdivision community. And it's like they take half of their lot and they just turn it into this huge garden. And then they have signups for all the neighbors who want to help grow, want to help maintain. And even the kids are involved. And it's just beautiful. And it's absolutely amazing. And that's how green thumbs are started. They're not born, they're started. And it's so wonderful to start as a child learning to grow. And you know, a lot of people think I have a green thumb and was born with one because they only see me gardening since we started here. You know, we didn't start gardening when we started building the property 9 years ago here. I started growing when I was little, And it's funny because I was actually talking with someone the other day because I was at a store and I paid with cash, and it took this person super long to count back change. And they actually had to have a little bit of help come and help them count out the change. And I felt really bad. Like, I felt really like, you know, they didn't have the help that they needed when that was taught in school. You know, like, it was just really, really sad. And I thought about it for a minute and I was like, for me, counting back change is like nothing. And it doesn't mean because I was born that way or because of my schooling. It was because by the time I was 7, I was working a cash register at my parents' business. I was counting back change in full at that point. There may have been a few slip-ups here and there. I was 7. But, I mean, from then on, I always worked cash register all the time. Like, we'd always alternate. We'd always fight. I have 3 sisters. We'd always fight. Who's going to work the cash register today? Like, no one wanted the cash register job, you know? It was always a pain. But, you know, it's with anything. The more you do something, the more you program your mind to be very good at it. It becomes like second nature. And that's really with anything, like anything. You're capable of anything. We are all capable of anything and everything. And that's what's so beautiful. And that's what I want to continue to spread to others, is to don't feel so limited. Don't always feel limited. Like, there's possibilities. And, you know, right now times are hard for a lot of people too. And I'm going to admit, like, things have been a little different here, you know, within the past like year, 2 years, and not just energetically, but like overall, everything happening around us, everything that's placed in front of us, and, you know, raising kids in this atmosphere of everything going on, you know, the cost of everything going up and not having as big of a budget or no budget at all. You know, it's been more of a struggle for everyone. And, you know, with all of that kind of going on, it's really hard to sometimes, you know, be online. Being online and posting gardening, you know, I love gardening. Gardening is really our life. Like, if you're going to have a huge garden, you better love gardening. That's all I have to say. Like, you better love it. And I love it. But some days, like, I don't really like posting. And I know you're probably like, well, then don't post. But it's like, we did start a business online. You know, that's part of it. That is part of it. But it's just really hard to sometimes post online because of things that, you know, you see or you watch, and then you're like, oh, here's me with my flowers. And it feels so insignificant, and it doesn't feel like you're doing much. But then it's like you hear from people and they're like, you're really inspiring me to get motivated and to do this and to try to learn and to try to grow and all of this stuff. So I always kind of try to look at it as like, we can only do so much in this world. And the reason, you know, why we have our skills that we do is through the lessons and the skills that we studied and trialed our entire life. And you take those and you use those in a way to help others. So when I am told that, I'm like, okay, so I am helping others in my own way and in some way, right? But that's all we can really do, you know? And sometimes, you know, I don't feel like doing a lot of things online are that effective. I believe doing things that make a difference in real life. So we don't always do these random things that you're supposed to do online in order to promote this or that. But I feel like it's what you do as a person in your community, with your family, especially if you're raising kids. The way you raise your kids is huge. That's like the biggest thing that you can do for the world is the way that you raise your kids and how you raise them to treat others and how to, you know, not feel so limited or to live in lack, to live more with gratitude and love and just be there to be a source for others and to have them aspire to help others in the future with whatever skills that they want to do. Like, I'm not going to force my kids to do what I do at all. But my point is, with everything kind of going online, as much as I talk about social media and I talk about being online with a business and how it's not always positive, you know, my talks on it, it's not always positive, but I do like being able to expose what actually happens there and what goes on there and what it's doing to us. But the overall positive thing of being there is the fact that everybody, and I do mean everybody, as long as you have a phone, everybody has an opportunity to do something different and to make something more of themselves. I believe this because I've seen it through my own hard work. Now, being online, it's funny because still in my area, people don't understand what I do. Whenever Jason and I go somewhere, like, they're like, oh, how are you guys, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, Jason, how's the housing industry? And then they never ask me about my work. And that's totally fine. Like, I am totally fine with that. But nobody understands what I do for a living. And it's kind of funny. It's like they still don't understand that you can make money online. And people just think that I just stay home, which there's nothing wrong with that because that's a job in itself, raising kids, keeping up a household and the whole garden and, you know, picking, providing and making food, all of that, that is important. But I do that and I run my online business because when you're online, it's not just posting a picture. That's what people think. They think that, oh, you know, they're probably like, well, what do I talk to her about? Like, oh, I like that picture you posted. Or, oh, how's the picture taking going? That's what people think. They think that you're just online posting fluff posts and, you know, you're just feeding your ego, you know? It's like there is an actual method and it's an actual business. And that's why you see so many new accounts starting because everybody's like, ooh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make money at this. I can do this. And of course you can, but many do not stick to it. Many do not stay in it because they quickly realize that it is not just posting a picture, but it is an opportunity there sitting and waiting for everyone and anyone at any given time, but it is work. It's as much work as any other business. Don't let anyone else tell you anything different or fool you and tell you it's only a few hours a week. That's a lie. When your business follows you with your phone, it follows you everywhere. So there's always comments and messages that you need to get back to. And yes, you should, because those turn into customers. Those are your loyal followers. Those are your tribe. Those are your online friends. They are not followers. Those are supporters, and you guys have the same love for the same niche. That's your community. It's all of that. You can't just not do one and only do the other. If you're just posting online for fun, then yeah, it's super easy, but you're also not making any money. There has to be an actual method laid out of how you're going to run it, how you're going to do it, and how you're going to earn from it. Because it is a lot of work. That's why a lot of people drop off. That's why a lot of people get burned out. You know, I did. I talk about it. I burned myself down for like a year. It was crazy. I was on fire. I was doing so good. I was on fire. But then I just burned myself down because I worked too hard. I became obsessive. And then I needed a break. If you don't become obsessive and you don't work too hard, because it still is a lot of work, even when you're not working too hard, you know, You overwork yourself, you become obsessed, and then you burn yourself out because you start getting sick of it. And it just like becomes a job. So after a break, then you need a break, you know, I'm back, you know, and I'm not doing exactly what I did last time. I have a completely different strategy. And my strategy is just to do what I want when I feel like it. And what's crazy is I find myself doing a heck ton every day. I'm going, but yet I'm not married to it. You know, when your business is on the phone, which basically every business is nowadays, because every business has a social media, right? But it's like it's everywhere with us, even our emails. Our emails are everywhere. So if you don't respond right away, people are like, well, I know it's not like she has to get home and check her computer. I know she saw it because she has her phone on her all the time, you know? And that's another thing too. When you're working any business, especially an online business, make sure you have times without that phone, because it becomes dangerous. And not just, you know, because you're addicted to checking and messaging back, because you know when you message back and you interact and do all of that, like it's really helping not only you, but it's helping others. It's like this, almost like this adrenaline thing, you know? But when you're doing all of that, you'll end up burning yourself out if you don't put your phone down. And you have to have those times without your phone too, because let's be honest, it is not good for us to be attached to our phones at all times. Like the EMFs from our phones are terrible for us. They're causing all sorts of problems that we don't even know right now. So if you have your kids on iPads and have a phone already and all of that stuff, I really hope that you are watching their time on that and limiting the time on that. Because if you don't know about EMFs and 5G and everything that your phone is doing to your body silently and your mind silently, please, please just start researching some stuff on it. Because, and I'm not trying to be scary, I'm just trying to be real, you know, like if you're on your phone all the time, it's not good. Also, if you're online, don't scroll so much. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do it to yourself. You know, you start your day off good, you wake up rested, and you're like, oh, today's going to be a good day. And, you know, you're feeling, you know, grateful and happy and positive. And then you go and scroll, and then all of a sudden your smile keeps going down until you frown, and then you click off your phone, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're in this lack frequency, or in like this frequency of lack and not grateful anymore, because all of a sudden you don't feel like what you're doing or what you have is enough. And then you start thinking about everything you need to do or things that you need to change, or it's constant. It's not good for us. And the way that they curated the social media with these videos constantly, like, it is just insane. So I don't really scroll. I follow a few people. I keep in touch with those who kept in touch with me, especially during my burnout. Those that kept in touch with me, I knew were not there, like, talking with me or following me or pretending to be my friend, those people didn't have anything to do with me at that time. When I came back, of course they did, but no. You find out who your true friends are when you take a social media break, I'll tell you that. But you know what? I'm not mad at them. I'm not blaming them. They're busy. I get it. They are busy. And being online for them is their business. You know, and I get it. And that's just the way it is. But that's why it's also good to create things outside of social media. So if you're starting an online business, it's really good to start something outside of, you know, online. How do you do that? Well, I mean, you could start something in physically, you know, like we have like plant pickups or things like that. I want to start having some, you know, garden gatherings for meditations, journaling, maybe some planting workshops, some beneficial plant workshops and insect workshops. And but we'll start very small, you know. What that will look like, I don't know. But I'll do it when I feel like it. like I told you, you know? But yeah, I mean, you ultimately have to have a plan set in place. So when you're doing this and you feel like you're having to push hard, 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 that's not really for you. When I was pushing on social media, it was just too much pushing. And not so much with like gaining followers, like that never really mattered. It was like earning, the earning part. Like the followers, they just came naturally because we just posted naturally and authentically. Like I actually love posting and I love taking pictures and I actually love creating videos. I just don't always love doing specific things that create the earnings. Like I like showing the dreamy, magical feel, but I don't always like showing the how-to. And the how-to is where, you know, you make the money because people want to know how to do something. They don't want to just see it. Sometimes they do, but majority, you know, and that's just how it goes. YouTube has been a push from the beginning, but YouTube is also what pays for our entire garden. So that's kind of why we just keep pushing. But that's why we also have been taking some things on the side that we haven't discussed to kind of make up for that. Because I still want to be able to create on YouTube, but I don't want to always just do how-to or anything, which we don't. You know, we kind of just share more of a vlog style a lot of times, but I'd really like to just keep it the vlog stuff rather than, you know, step-by-step things, which I know are helpful, but I don't mind doing step-by-step when it comes to creating the gardens. It's just with, you know, planting certain things or seeding certain things. It's like when I do those things, I don't want any technology on or around me. I want to just be clear and free of any of those types of devices. I want to just have it silent. I want to hear nature, possibly my kids screaming and having a heck of a time around me, and just really focus in, use my creative abilities to just create, to authentically create. So that was part of the big burnout. I got to the point where I didn't want to constantly film myself doing everything in the garden because I love gardening, but it started taking the love out of gardening because I had to show everything in the garden. So now that we learned the very hard way, that's why I'm sharing this with you so you don't have to learn the hard way like I did. Now we know to not do that. You pick and choose the tasks that you want to actually film, and then everything else, you turn it off and you just say, nope, no more, no more. You limit. But I do feel like the hard work that we did do in the beginning is paying off because it has helped with a lot of other things that are happening in the background that we haven't really discussed yet. And so, I mean, it's not like it's all for nothing. All of those creations built our garden. Like what we earned from all of that built our garden and continues to build our garden. So, and we have another project this year, which we'll share soon. We're not going to release what that project is or what it will look like because it's really exciting. getting you guys up all excited about it. So we'll kind of go over that soon too, because that project will be starting in about a week, but I really don't think I want to share it until it's all complete. I always feel like whenever we share something before it's complete, then it's like, you know, you start seeing it everywhere before we even complete it. So this time we're just going to kind of keep our idea silent. And then when it's done, it's going to be really unique. And I'll give you one little hint. It's going to tie the two garden spaces together. You guys know how we have that huge wide driveway down the middle, so there'll still be enough room to drive down the middle, but it'll be different. So we'll share that as that comes. So I think I've been talking long enough. I don't know how the topic went on to the social media business. Like I told you, I do usually make notes for the podcast. And today, I don't know why, but I just felt like I needed to just click that record button and just flow and just go with it. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please feel free to share it with friends or family or whoever you think would enjoy it, or maybe someone that you know is possibly even starting an online business, or maybe someone who believes that they do not have a green thumb, right? Let's help those people out and let them know and help them believe that, yes, they do have a green thumb. Let's just start turning it more green gradually, and we'll get you there. So thank you so much, and we'll talk with you guys again.